Welcome to the Cooldown Room with your host, Sky Upshaw, an F1 podcast where we talk all things Formula. Today, I am with a very special guest. I'm with Scarlett Archer. Scarlett, thank you so much for coming back onto my podcast. I had such a great time talking with you a few weeks ago about, well, everything to do with you and everything to do with F1. It was such fun. So I'm so pleased to have you back. How's your week been?
I mean, it's been amazing. First of all, thank you for having me back. It's so exciting. But it's been a great week. So I did the Saudi Arabian commentating from a studio at Biggin Hill. And that was all very exciting. It was a good race, you know, a nice race for, you know, second race of the season. And it feels great to be back doing it. And I'm excited for all the races that, you know, are going to come next.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're just starting off, aren't we? We finished round two. So we're looking on to like the rest of the year.
The race was
pretty good. We obviously had some pretty exciting things happen beforehand, which we will obviously talk about in a minute. But of course, you were commentating on the Sky F1 Kids part of the F1, which I thought was amazing. It all looked incredible. How did you find it? What was like the best part for you?
Well, I mean, I found it great. It's such like a nice team to work with. And I think having, you know, younger people doing it makes it so fresh because, you know, like the normal one, there's excitement there. But with the kids, it's like, we just get like so excited about it. And like, there's so many added things in with like the F1 kids. There's like all the like avatars that are there for like each of the drivers. And there's like celebrity cams. There was the camel camera at this one, which was so cool. There's like so many different things. It just makes it so exciting. But it's so nice to work with other people that love Formula One and other people, like young people who are interested, to hopefully, you know, inspire young people to get involved more. But it's so nice to be back doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It looks really cool because when you watch like the normal F1, it's great. It's fun, exciting, but particularly for someone coming into the sport, who's maybe new to the sport in particular, the F1, I think it can look quite boring. Like you just got a lot of times, you got a lot of like murmur about things you may not understand. I absolutely love how Sky created the F1 kids part, because as you say, you got all the avatars, and it just, by having it for kids, like made by kids, I love that. It like, it makes me feel really engaged.
And I
audience, I think it's fun, it's exciting, and you learn things as well. Like, you guys kind of explain things really well, and it's quite, I feel like you end up learning together, which I kind of just love.
Yeah, when I'm doing it, I learn things because like Zach knows so much about Formula One. And even like, you know, while we're recording, if there's something that I don't understand, I can ask him about it, because there's going to be so many people watching who don't understand. I remember the first time, you know, like you watch Formula One when you're younger, but you don't really listen to it. So the first time I actually started listening to it, I was like, what is going on? Like going around a chicane, blah, 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 all this stuff. I was like, it's so confusing. And I can imagine if you're just trying to get into Formula One and you just get thrown and you start watching it, it can be quite confusing. So I think it's great that there's somewhere that not even just kids can go. Like the amount of adults I've heard say that they prefer the younger one. But the thing that I think is good is that like there's the, you know, the normal Formula One and the kids one. So if you want to see the normal one, then you can go watch it. But I think the kids one is just so much, it's like so fresh and so fun and so exciting, because we do genuinely get so excited about everything that's going on, like seeing all the celebrities and everything.
Oh, it is. It looks awesome. And obviously this weekend you were commentating with Zach and Kai, and you get on well, do you, with them both?
Yeah, I get on really well. I mean, it's nice to have, like, be working with other people like a similar age, because, you know, usually people that like Formula One are a bit older. So I think it's good that, you know, you've got like a little group of people who really like it. And we all have like our different strengths. So like, you know, Zach and Kai, they're go-karters. Like Zach is currently doing karting, and I think Kai used to, so they've got a lot of like knowledge about what it's actually like to be like on the track, whereas I know about like watching, but then, you know, I like to talk a lot, so I guess that's helpful. So I think we all work like really well together, so it's a nice mix. And it's really nice just being in like a commentating booth. You feel really professional, like your headphones on, your microphone. It's all really exciting. And
it
then you just
like
relax
that,
though, because like you're just sat down, but at the end of the race, you're like, oh,
so
and it's like you've just been sat there the whole time. There's people probably on their feet, you know, doing pit stops, and I'm probably more tired than them. I'm like, oh, take your headphones off. You'll just sleep on the Pain.
It's a big thing, you know, you're on like live TV and you've got to get everything right. And I was actually going to ask you about this. Like, it, I guess this thing comes with the pressure, but how prepared do you feel? Do you feel really prepared? And obviously, it does come with pressure, like the whole job, but do you feel quite relaxed in the space?
I always find at the beginning, I'm quite, I don't like to say nervous. I like to say excited.
Yeah.
So I always go, but maybe a bit
Like a
nervous,
bit
excited at the
butterflies,
beginning.
but a bit
Yeah.
both.
I feel like at the beginning, because it is quite nerve-wracking thinking that it's in all these different countries, you know, there's all kinds of people watching. But then you really like, you get into it. But I do get a bit nervous at the beginning because it's like, you know, start, you want to get it right. And also, like, I like to be really prepared. Like if I have like a line to learn for something, like a script, I'll memorize that like over and over. I have it nailed. Like I could say it when I'm sleeping, but for like F1, you can't memorize what's going to happen because you don't know. It's so unpredictable. And I think I don't get nervous. Like I get excited because I really enjoy doing it, but it's like you just want to make sure that you're saying everything, that you're getting, you know, everything right. But honestly, it's so relaxed. Like when I saw Pharrell Williams' gold teeth, I couldn't stop going on about them. Like there's things going on. I'm like, I really want some gold teeth. And Zach's like, Scarlett, Max Verstappen's blah, 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 blah. And then blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but he's got gold teeth. And then I was like, I remember I wasn't even looking at the race at one point. I was like, imagine if Colin the Camel got gold teeth. And they're like, Oliver Bearman's in seventh. And I was like, oh, he is. I forgot we're on TV. Like you just, it's so
Yeah.
fun. And it's such like a nice environment to be and like to work in that you kind of forget what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice though, because I guess that's just because you just feel comfortable, like in
Yeah.
your skin, and you're kind of you feel prepared enough to just like not stress about it. Because I think the worst thing would be if you end up like stressing and then you start mumbling things and like overdoing
Yeah.
it because you have no idea. Something that I was really impressed with and I wanted to ask you about. When you guys come on and tell us as the viewers like who's in which grid spot, like what did I say? Grid spots. I thought it was really professional how you went from each of the past like people, like each one of you, and said, you know, Max Verstappen's on par with, you know, Sergio Perez, blah blah blah. I just thought that was really cool. How is do you do that like live, or do you record that separately?
So it's all live, like all parts of the commentating are live. But what we have is, so when we're in the bigger studio, we have like the screen with the race on, and then we have like a screen on the side with like times, like fastest lap and things. But we all get like a grid sheet so we can see like the starting positions. So what I like to do is I have my grid sheet in front of me. I highlight, so I always do like the first four. Then someone else will do the next four and then like so on. So I highlight the ones that I'm doing and I write like one word next to them. So I could be like, oh, Max Verstappen, if he gets this, it'll be his 100th podium. And then in second, we have Charles Leclerc with his 125th start. And then like he's me, he isn't mean and he isn't green, he's Nico the Hulk Hulkenberg, things like that. But I do like a lot of prep before because I feel like that is the most important thing you can do. Like I watch lots of videos of people commentating. I feel like that's the best way to learn. Like for anything that I do, any like thing for Sky, you know, any job, I make sure that I'm prepared because, you know, you're not going to do well if you haven't prepared. And, you know, you're only, you know, helping yourself improve if you are doing lots of preparation.
It's such a good way to be, you know, being ready for anything, because I think with F1, there literally anything could happen, and you want to know who is who, which team is who, and you want to, if someone pops up on screen that looks, you know, quite that, you know, they have an authority about them, you want to know who they are, you know. And I
Yeah.
think that comes with a big skill to listen, to understand. You almost have to become like a sponge. You have to absorb so much information.
Yeah, definitely.
And that, I mean, that's a big skill in itself. So I applaud you for that, because that's it's amazing to do.
The other thing that's important to remember, I think, is that like you're gonna get things wrong. You know, you're not always gonna say the right thing, and that's okay because the adult presenters, they don't always get everything right, and it is hard. It's easy to muddle things up. So you have to, you know, accept that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to, you know, not do something right. But it's all part of it because, you know, commentating, it's not scripted. It's not there to be perfect. And a lot of it is really like what you're seeing. And you just really describe like what's going on in the race.
Exactly. No, and I think it's awesome, and I cannot wait for the next time that you're commentating
Yeah.
for it. So, looking at the race a little bit more, of course, obviously the race was great, but looking at the days beforehand, we had some pretty big news headlines. Firstly, bless Carlos Sainz, having to
Yeah.
go for emergency treatment because he had, of course, appendicitis. Honestly, I was really surprised to see him come back to the track because I saw that he was there like a few hours after his surgery. And apparently that was against doctor's orders, which I thought was a bit like, oh, okay. I don't know if maybe he was trying to prove that he'll be fine for like the Australian Grand Prix, maybe
Australia,
like
yeah.
get through it. But yeah, I thought he looked a bit fragile, bless him. But of course, what came with that, which although we massively missed the smooth operator, what came with that is that Ollie Bearman got a massive opportunity and obviously took his seat for the weekend. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, it's very sad about Carlos Sainz. When my mum was the one who told me, I can't remember what I was doing, and she went, "Scarlett, Carlos Sainz has tonsillitis." And I was like, "Okay, well, I've had tonsillitis like 5 times this year already." And I was like, "Okay." And she was like, "So he can't do the race." And I was like, "For tonsillitis." And she was like, "Yeah, tonsillitis is so serious." And I was like, "We shouldn't be like appendicitis." She's like, no, tonsillitis. So much so, he's gonna have to get surgery." I was like, "He's getting his tonsils removed." And she was like, "No, not his tonsils, silly. His appendix." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, so it is appendicitis." She was like, "Yeah, okay, never mind." And I was like, "Okay." So
Love
that
that.
was the first thing. But I mean, I'm glad that, there's hope for him coming back in Australia. But Ollie Bearman, I can't believe it. I think it's absolutely amazing. Like, one qualifying, he's okay, so he got pole in F2, and then he just gets plucked out of it, thrown into F1. I mean, the nerves he must have had, the nerves his family must have had. He got, I was nervous just seeing him. He's like, he's 2 years older than me. He's 18 years old, and he just got thrown into an F1 car at an actual GP. And I'm sorry, but he almost got into the points in qualifying, which is amazing. And
Yep,
then he got in front of Lando.
I know. I don't know how this happened.
Into P7. I was shocked. I think he did an amazing job.
Absolutely, I agree. I was shocked because of course he, as you say, he literally got thrown into it. Did an amazing job in F2 and got pole. I was really excited for that anyway. I was going, oh my God, Ollie Bearman's in pole. I feel like my claim to fame is that I got to meet him at the British
I
Grand Prix
saw
last.
that.
And I was
I
like, oh
saw
my God.
that.
So like, besties, right? As if anyway. So he got thrown into free practice three, of course. So he literally got 1 hour to
Yeah.
learn everything about Carlos' car, have a little drive around. And I just thought he held it together so well because even after the Grand Prix, he came out of the car, he was like, oh, I was really happy with myself. I know I could have done better here, there, and here. But I was really happy and I felt really good. And I was like, oh my gosh. He has just been thrown into this. As you say, he's 18. He's the same age as me.
Yeah.
I could not survive that pressure. But he just came out just completely like, it was such an amazing experience. And, I hope Carlos is okay. I was just like, it's
What
just.
really like shocked me was his confidence behind the wheel, having it being his first time, like his overtakes, you could see that he was really, really trying. And did you see that when Lewis overtook him, he like gave him a little clap and a thumbs up,
I
and then
know.
Lewis waited for him after and gave him a hug, and it was just like,
I
it was so sweet. But also Ollie Bearman, like after all, like the commentators were speaking to him, he like gave them a handshake, and you could just see like how thankful he was to be there. And I think I saw in an interview, he was like, "I've got to go back to reality now. I can't even imagine what he was feeling." Like, I
know.
mean, and his dad, bless him, he looked so nervous. He
Yeah.
like with his headphones on, he was like, and you could just see how proud he was. I mean, I thought it was amazing.
I know he's like become this sort of overnight celebrity because I mean I've followed him for ages, but I think his Instagram he was on, I might be wrong, I think it was about 550,000 followers. It might have been around 600, and he's now, or so I saw this morning, 1.1 million followers. So he's gained
She's
like,
like doubled.
yeah, and I'm like, this dude has literally become the celebrity of F1 in overnight because also, yeah, next
Yeah.
he's getting all this press conference, and I did think he just seemed to have so much time. I felt like that, to be honest, when I met him for the very brief time I did, he was the kind of person he genuinely wanted to spend the time with the people like around him. He was like, oh yeah, of
You could
course.
just see like how grateful he is, I feel. Like, I feel like he's just like, I feel like some F1 drivers, they kind of like, they're just like doing it, but you can see his passion for it, I think.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was so beyond impressed, and I would be really surprised if he didn't get an F1 seat next year.
Him and Liam.
Liam Lawson, I know. Yeah, Liam deserves it massively. I mean, he raced, what was it, five times last year in replacement for Ricciardo when he broke part of his hand. But they are both I think the future of F1, the future
I
champion.
definitely agree.
And yeah, Oli Bettao really, really impressed me. So I look forward to the future, and I hope he gets more runs, in free practice with Haas, with Ferrari, and maybe a couple other teams too. I'd like to see him just, I don't know, have a little bit of trial around the teams. I think I'd love to see him F1, but I think he could do better than Haas, because he could well get offered a seat in Haas for next year. But I think what would be amazing if he got something a little bit better than Haas, maybe, but I don't know. I
There's
don't
a seat at Mercedes, who
know. Imagine that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Lewis, is a brilliant F1 driver. He's won so many things, and Ollie Bearman managed to end Hira. It's such an achievement. Like he didn't have anything to prove. He had one shot to go in there and, do his best, and he did it. I feel like he gave it everything. You could just like feel his confidence, and it's like, I mean, I'm not an F1 driver. I couldn't do that, but like I'd be terrified. Like he'd never driven an F1 car before. He got thrown into it, and he's getting in front of all these, incredible drivers, and he didn't have anything to prove, but he proved himself. It's just amazing.
I know. I think he was in a really good car, which obviously helped him, but I think you'd be quite, I don't know, you wouldn't know the sport very well if you said it was all the car, because you cannot possibly, even if he was in the Red Bull, there was no chance that he was just going to go and win just because he's in the Red Bull. Like, not easily come last, but even just by putting it in the wall. I mean, that takes a lot of experience to be on a street track and control it like he did. So yeah, amazing. Incredible. I was
I
very
think it was incredible because, I mean, a lot of it, the car is obviously an important part, and Red Bull have an amazing car. But if you're not a good driver, and if you don't understand the car, which Oliver Bearman, he didn't have much time to understand the car because each car's different and you have to act a different way with every single one. And he didn't have time to do that. But one bit that I did think was amazing, he pushed so hard to get past Tsunoda, and I was just like, I felt proud. Like I don't know him, but I could feel like, I feel like every person from every team was proud of him. Like you
No.
could just see like everyone congratulating him. It didn't matter, who they were. I could just he just seems so happy and thankful. He's like a little like puppy.
Actually, and I'm sure you saw his dad, of course, on the screen, looking worried, proud, excited, scared, everything, all at once. I just thought was really sweet. So yeah, anyway, I hope to see him doing more exciting things soon, and obviously doing well in F2, of course. But I guess that moves us on to, well, we'll talk a little bit about the race winner, obviously. Max Verstappen, he took his 100th podium this weekend, and he did it with class, as he always does. Smooth all the way from, well, he actually didn't lead the race from start to finish, did he? Lando Norris led the race by a few for a few laps. But he did amazingly. I mean, that car is just out of everyone's league, I
I
think.
feel like he just knows it so well. Like he always drives so smoothly and like so he's not aggressive. He's just like he's just like there zooming. He's like elegant, graceful, just stays like once he's at the front, he's at the front. You know what I mean? I actually forgot about him. I was looking and then I was like, wait. And then I looked ahead, I was like, oh, Max Verstappen's there. I completely forgot about him. He's just zooming ahead.
You know,
He was great.
I do that as well, because of course you don't see him because he's just so far ahead. I think the gap was six or so seconds. So it wasn't as much as the Bahrain Grand Prix, but yeah, he's just amazing. And actually Sergio did a really good race as well. I thought I was very happy, to be honest. The two Red Bulls, they did really well, and they deserve the top spots because they drove amazingly. I
I
still.
always feel like, sorry, I always feel like Red Bull's like one step ahead. Like their cars, they never really needs any tweaks, does it? Because they always seem like they're just one step ahead, and then everyone kind of catches up and they're ahead, but you never really notice when they've made the tweaks because they just do everything so smoothly and like so quick.
I don't know how they do that. It's I think Adrian Newey has a part to play in that, doesn't there? But there's been so much drama with the Red Bull team, Christian, Matt, Helmut Marko, Adrian Newey. And I had a really brilliant comment the other day, which I thought was so good. And they said, am I watching motorsport or am I watching the Kardashians? And I just thought that wins comment of
That's so funny.
because it's just been chaos. There's been so much
It
going on.
has.
And I just think it's not good for the sport, I mean, at all. Or the team. Like, the team cannot be doing well off of all of this bad publicity. And I don't
No.
know what's next for them, but I guess we'll just have to find out.
Because even if it's, to do with like, say the mechanics, the principle, whatever, like, it's going to affect the drivers because everyone always has something to say when in reality it's not got anything to do with the drivers. They're just, doing their job, doing what they love, trying to drive the car. And it's a bit sad that there's so much like going on because, it shouldn't be about that for them. It should just be about them, doing their best.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, particularly now, a lot of the, a lot of the stuff that goes on behind the closed doors actually ends up being the driver's problems. And I think that shouldn't be the way it is, but I think it is. And that's not, I don't think that's good at all. But I don't know if you saw, well, Lando firstly jump start, kind of, and then he
Yeah.
really, but he didn't get any penalty for it
Yeah,
because
I really don't understand why he didn't get a penalty.
Well, it was apparently the computer didn't log a full start, and so of course, although we all saw it, I'm in Lando's court. I think absolutely no penalty. But if it were anyone else, I think I'd be like, with a penalty. But yeah, apparently the computer didn't log it, and therefore it's not a penalty. And everyone's a bit like, okay,
Yeah,
but.
because wasn't it because he started too soon and he realized. So I mean, I understand like he realized he did it, so he stopped himself. So well done, Lando, but
No, you're not meant to like move out of the grid box. He did, but yeah, the computer didn't log it. But that's with it. Of course, he didn't gain any advantage because he stopped and then started again once it actually, the lights actually did go out. But he has had some pretty bad publicity in the past day because he actually said on an interview that this everything ha that's happening in Red Bull with Christian Horner isn't the driver's. It's not. It's not for the drivers to be a part of. They're just there to race. There's so much drama in F1, and we're kind of forgetting what we're all here for, and that is the racing. And yes,
Yeah.
Verstappen's winning everything, but I guess if that's racing, it's racing. Some of the regulations have changed, and maybe that's gone in Red Bull's favor, but that's the racing, and we just have to go with it. And if you don't enjoy it, then.
There's a lot of pressure on the drivers, in the race, but also to say the right thing because, they have to have so much training and stuff. And it's like, ugh, it's a sport. Let them do the sport,
You
It
can get
should just be
cancelled
about
for
that, not about, all this other silly stuff that goes on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agree. So you're going to be commentating for the Monaco Grand Prix. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm really looking forward to it. I think that's going to be Braden, Zach, Kai, and I. And I mean, I'm really excited to do it, be back in the studio for another race. And I really wish I was going to Monaco because I think that would be an awesome one. And I mean, I think Charles Leclerc is going to be very excited for it. I really hope that he wins because I feel like he's really been stepping up. I mean, it's only the second race of the season, but like, I think that he's going to win a Grand Prix this year.
Really hope so because he does deserve it. If they can get past that Red Bull at any point, I really do
Yeah.
hope that either of those Ferraris can do it because I love Charles, I love Carlos. But I really do. I'm hoping for a good race for him in Monaco because he doesn't have the best experience there. So I think there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but I will be hoping. So definitely, I give you all the best of luck for that one as well because I will be watching all very excited. It will be good. You've got a bit of time to plan ahead of that, so you can get prepared, do a bit of learning of all the information that you need. It's quite a historic track,
Yes.
so you need to have your learning hat on, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing I like about commentating is that like I can make notes and then because a lot of it is off camera, if there's anything like a fact about the track that I might want to remember, I can jot it down and just have it there, to look at. So it's not like, I just have to remember absolutely everything. I mean,
No.
obviously I can't predict what's going to happen, but I can have things which,
The
makes
facts.
it feel really relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. You can just feel prepared in your own little okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's everything. I really appreciate you coming back onto the podcast, Scarlett, and thank you. And I really hope to speak to you very soon. Good luck with everything, and yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. And honestly, I'll say it again, I love this podcast. It's such a great place to go. And everything is just like, I'm just scrolling and I see it, and it's like it makes sense, but you're not talking down to me. And it's explained in such a nice way. So thank you for having me. And hopefully after the Monaco Grand Prix, we can chat again.
Definitely. That's so kind of you, and I'll speak to you really soon.